To be here. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation 13 with me this morning, please. Revelation 13. 13 in the Bible is a number of rebellion. 13 original colonies when they rebelled against King George back there in the 1700s. I don't know if I told you. I know I've told you before, but if you ever go to Great Britain, I forget the square, it's in front of, I forget where it is, but Victoria, Queen Victoria has a huge monument, huge, because that's when Britannia ruled the waves, the most powerful empire on the face of the earth. But King George has a statue, they've got a monument to him, and I think he's on a horse, but you've got to hunt to find it, stuck back in the corner. The Brits aren't too proud of King George because he's the one who lost the colonies to these fire-breathing rebels who were our forefathers. Amen. 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. Boy, y'all get that. 13:13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Father, I pray that you'd ask your blessing to the reading and the teaching. Anoint the word of God as it goes forth, my Father. Your holy name, Lord. Amen. Some of you know the testimony that I told you last time I went to the Holy Land. I'm trying to figure exactly how long it's been. I went five times with Brother Bevington, and one time I led a tour over there. The last time that I went to the Holy Land, I slept that night in the hotel, which is right across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem. And it's on the Mount of Olives in that area. And that night, I went into the room and I was in there alone. And I had a very scary encounter, no question about it. I had laid down in the bed, and I wasn't in it long until I felt a spirit come into that room, and I went into mortal combat, no doubt about it. And I mean, I had a confrontation with a spirit being. It was the most profound that I've ever had in my life outside of the day that I got saved. I wrestled with that thing, and I had to rebuke it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and finally got victory over it. I got the distinct feeling it was trying to kill me. It wasn't too long after that we got back to the States, and our flight was canceled in New York City, and I spent the night at LaGuardia with one eye open and one eye closed. You can do it. And you can do it. Next morning, I got an early flight out of LaGuardia to Knoxville, but I had to go through Cincinnati, make a connection. So we went through Cincinnati, got into Knoxville. And then I was completely exhausted because, you see, the night before I had gone through that. And so I came home and I went to bed, and then I got up about 1 o'clock in the morning, I think it was 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in there. I went outside and sat down on the swing. And on that swing, I had an encounter with God that I had never had before outside of the day that I got saved. I felt the power of God come upon me, which literally drove me to my knees. I got on my knees on that back porch and I began to pray. And I felt wave after wave of glory come upon my soul. I had no idea that such a thing like that existed. I had never heard the testimony in any Baptist church of anybody that had been through anything like that. But I cannot deny the reality of what happened to me. I will not deny it. And if I get kicked out of every fellowship in the country, so be it. I know what happened. And on that back porch, I had an experience with God. I had an encounter with Him. And He began to reveal spiritual truths to me. I sat down in the swing, and it just flooded my soul like you'd open a book, like you just pour into someone, just knowledge. It just came truths, spiritual, powerful truths, as they flooded my soul from God. And then it happened again. And I got up from that swing, and the spirit was more powerful. I couldn't stand it. I had to get back down on my knees. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I know what my experience with God is. You don't stand up. You get down.
Amen.
When the Almighty comes upon you in power and glory like that, you're not up here doing all this. This is okay. There's nothing wrong with this. But you let Him come down on you in His holy power and wait. You're going down. That's where I went. I went down. And God came upon me the second time and began to talk to me and tell me what He intended to do with me. And I didn't initiate this. I had no idea it was coming, but it happened. I look back on it and I say to myself, I wonder sometimes if Satan knew that God might have even told him what He intended to do with me when He got me back to the States. And God might have said, now here, Satan, do what you want to with him, like He did with Job over there in the book of Job. And Satan tried. But it was a learning experience for me. I know the power of the devil. And I know how foolish, how utterly foolish some of these preachers are when they get up and mock Satan and act like they can just flip some word at him and Satan's going to jump and run from them. Oh, no, 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 no. They have no idea of the power of their enemy. He will consume you so quickly that you can never imagine. He has unbelievable power. The only power that's greater than Satan's is God. That's exactly right. And when God made him, He made him with that kind of power. He has deceptive power. Enormous deceptive power. He is a deceiver. And He's a liar. And we're talking about these new world orders. We're talking about coming into a time of deception like this world has never known. And we're there. We're right at the door. If you've been aware of the news media lately, you know that some of the highest political figures in our country have been talking about what's called spirit cooking. If you bother to run a little reference on that yourself, because there are certain things that I won't say in this auditorium. I'm not going to say it because, for one thing, you've got children. Another thing, it's on the Internet live right now. People are watching this. And so you have to be careful about what you say. But I'm going to tell you right now that if you bother to check into spirit cooking, you're going to be revulsed. You're going to be made sick by the kind of thing that you're going to get into when you read. But let me tell you something. The people that are doing this have PhDs and are running elements in our country. And then do a Google search on Pizzagate. Pizzagate. And I got on that site the other day. I did a little research into Pizzagate, and it made me sick at my stomach as to what I saw. You've got to be prepared for what you're going to get into when you get into this stuff. And Pizzagate is all over Washington, D.C. It's shot through the government. And it's one of these things that when you're faced with it, it's like J. Edgar Hoover when he made the statement that the I forget what it was, something to do with the fact that the greatest vulnerability, to paraphrase him, he said the greatest vulnerability of an American citizen is when he comes face to face with a conspiracy so monumental that he literally cannot accept it. It blows his mind. That was the gist of what J. Edgar Hoover was saying. Now, he, folks, was the director of the FBI. So here's the point in all of this, that it's not going to happen. It is happening. And the powers that are ruling over this country, these are very sinister powers. And these are principalities and powers. And in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible says that He triumphed over them. These principalities and powers represent spiritual power. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel had been praying for God to answer his prayer as related to his people, God sent an answer to Daniel's prayer, but it took him 21 days to get there with that answer. That's 3 times 7. And when he got there, he told him, he said, the prince of Persia withstood me. In plain words, he said, I came with the answer to your prayer, but I had to surmount many spiritual obstacles, hindrances that were in the way to keep me from reaching you. Now, you have to understand that the spiritual battle that rages is cannot be seen with the natural eye, but it is real, folks. It is real. And this spiritual battle, as it raged, of course, in that context of Daniel, had to do with Israel. It had to do with Israel's deliverance and answer to prayer. And you'll read in the last chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 12, that Michael, the archangel, the only one mentioned in the Bible as an archangel, stands for Israel. Now, if Michael stands for Israel, that begs the question, then who stands for what? In other words, who stands for America? Who stands for Great Britain? Who stands for France, Spain, Portugal? Who stands for these countries? Does someone stand for them? Do they have a spiritual representative? Is there an angel that stands for these people? What kind of spiritual power and forces are we dealing with? And that's what you're talking about with the New World Order. Because the New World Order, one world government, is hell-bent on bringing this world into subjection to Satan and wiping away any reference to God and to Christ. These people, now please don't think that I'm getting hyper with this. I'm telling you the truth. These people, these leftist progressives that I'm witnessing here in the latter years of my lifetime, I have never seen before. These are vicious people. These are fascist. You remember last Sunday I spent a whole lesson talking about fascism, communism, socialism, talking about a republic, talking about democracy, and all of these things. Mussolini was a fascist. Here's what a fascist is. A fascist is not somebody who wants your property. He doesn't want to worry with maintaining your company. That's communism. They own the means of production. A fascist is one that'll let you worry with that, but he'll tell you how to run it. And he'll tell you what you can put on your TV. And he'll tell you what you can play on your radio. And he'll tell you what you can print in your newspaper. And he'll tell you what you can teach your children in the public school systems. A fascist is one who wants to control every aspect of your life. That's exactly what the left progressive are doing. Political correctness is just one of the avenues that they use for that. These are vicious people. They have no mercy. They will fire you in a heartbeat from your job if you don't march to their tune. And the reason many of you haven't been fired yet is because they don't have control yet. But once they have absolute control, then it will be absolute. It will be an absolute unbelievable place for a person to live in this country. And of course, to get off into politics, some say, well, they hope that Donald Trump can stop that. I do too. But the bottom line is that they are pushing for a one world government, because one world government means one world control. The Antichrist is a dictator. He is the epitome of a dictator. And so the spirit world has been working for a long time to bring about what you're seeing happen right now. This didn't start yesterday. It's been going on for a long time. I think one of the greatest sins, and I believe it is a sin that the church is going to have to give an account for, is for all the decades that it's buried its little head in the sand and denied the existence of this enemy and of these spiritual forces. They're going to have to give an account for it. God's not interested in how pretty you are and how great you can worship and how beautiful your music is. Not one bit. You'd be amazed at how many times in the Old Testament he rebukes Israel for their beautiful worship and their great robes and their priesthood and their offerings and their sacrifices. And God says, they stink in my nostrils. Time and again he tells them that. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. He seeketh truth in the inward parts, as David confessed in the book of Psalms. That's what he's interested in. I appreciate the nice building we've got. This beautiful building. You notice the Bible down here? I've always wanted something like that. That's in the center of this place. This is the place of the book. If it wasn't for that book, we wouldn't be here. See, that book right there. And if it hadn't been changed, if you come up here and look at it, it should be turned to Jeremiah chapter number 9, verses 23 and 24. The reason that I like that scripture so much is because that's one of the best scriptures in the whole Old Testament that describes God in just a few verses. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, but let him that glorieth glory in this, he understandeth and knoweth me. So this idea that the church is going to be the vanguard against the onslaught of this wicked satanic religious system, I haven't seen it happen yet. I hope it does happen. Now this morning I'm going to give you some stuff that's very alarming. Very alarming. I want you to listen to it. And here's why. It's because people have a tendency to block out things and create their own little safe space, though they never call it that. That's what they have. They say, I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to hear it. Well, when you go to the polls and vote, do you know what you're voting for? When you pick up your Bible and it talks about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, see, but against principality, what are we talking about? That's what's so important about this. And that's why it's so necessary for a pastor to teach this. And I'm going to read a quote for you. I gave you a testimony. Now, here's the thing. The testimony that I gave you about what happened to me over there in the Kidron Valley. Did you know how close I was to Gethsemane when that happened? Do you realize that I was sleeping no more than just a few hundred yards away from Gethsemane? And the Eastern Gate? That's how close we were. Right there at it. I've been to Gethsemane 6 times. I preached there 1 time. I did. At Gethsemane. There's a tree at Gethsemane that so many people have come by, pilgrims have come by and rubbed that olive tree that they've rubbed it smooth. It doesn't have a bark anymore. They've rubbed it smooth. Why? Well, I'm sure many of them rub it because they're praying. You'd be surprised at the spirit of prayer that you'll find around Gethsemane. And practically anywhere you go in the world, a place has a spirit attached to it. That's a prayerful spirit at Gethsemane. When people get around that place, they forget whether they're Catholics or Baptists or Presbyterians or Lutherans or whatever. They forget that. They get around that place right there and they start talking to God. And if they're born again, they get straight through. Yes, they do. They get straight through. Gethsemane, beneath the old olive trees. One of these books has that song in it. Somewhere in here, I've heard it sung before. Have you ever heard that one, Neath the Old Olive Trees? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But a lot of preachers think that Preacher Lawson's gone off of the deep end when I talk about somebody coming to me on the back porch like that, and when I talk about God coming upon me. And I would say this for you tonight, this morning, folks, honestly, with all my heart. Many of you probably have had an experience similar to that. And if you haven't, I hope you do. Because it'll be one of the most wonderful things that will happen in your life is that encounter with God. There's no substitute for it. Listen to this word. Human beings are under the control of a strange force that bends them in absurd ways, forcing them to play a role in a bizarre game of deception. Who said this? Dr. Jacques Vallée. He says again, the UFO phenomenon represents a manifestation, now watch it, of a reality that transcends our current understanding of physics. The UFOs are physical manifestations that cannot be understood apart for their psychic and symbolic reality. What we see in effect here is not an alien invasion. It is a control system which acts on humans and uses humans. Same man, Jacques Vallée. I want to point something out that he said. The UFOs are physical manifestations that cannot be understood apart from their psychic and symbolic reality. They are real, but they're not real like this. But they are real. Let me ask you a question this morning. A lot of churches in Knoxville, Tennessee, that if you go in that church and you say anything about a demon or an evil spirit, we got ourselves a nutball from the backwoods over here. See? Well, then the Lord Jesus Christ was a nutball from the backwoods. Because He confronted them. Yes, He did. Isn't it amazing how arrogant we can get? How self-asserting? How bloated in our egotism? Boy, we can. It's amazing. If UFOs are somebody else's nuts and bolts hardware, then we must still explain how such tangible hardware can change shape before our eyes, vanish in a Cheshire Cat manner, not even leaving a grin, seemingly melt away in front of us, or apparently materialize mysteriously before us without apparent detection by persons nearby or in neighboring towns. We must wonder, too, where UFOs are hiding when not manifesting themselves to human eyes. This is J. Allen Hynek in Edge of Reality. These are scientists and professors. Dr. David Jacobs, he says, this is a phenomenon that is either psychological or it is happening. There is very little in the middle. I have learned that the abduction phenomena is vast, global, and it occurs with great frequency. What do you mean abduction? When people say that they have had an encounter with a UFO, some of them even say they've been taken aboard a UFO, and there's all kinds. They call them, what is it, the five, I think it is. I forget exactly. I believe it's five. Of the first kind, second kind, third kind, so forth. But here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line with this. If this is happening, something really is happening. And most of the people that this happens to know that they're going to get the same response from other people that a lot of people have who've come forth with it. And so they stay quiet about it. They don't want people to think they're crazy. And that's exactly what most people think. They think you're crazy. They think you're crazy. Now, I had a man tell me right back there, I think it was. I talked to him one time a few years back. He said, Preacher, he said, I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's a traveling salesman. He stays everywhere. He said, I was in Chattanooga. And I know exactly where he's talking about because they've got some old railroad cars down there and they've converted them into hotel rooms. He said, I went into that car that night, and this is a Christian. He said, I went into that car that night. He said, I laid down. And he said, something came into that railroad car that night. And he said, that thing tried to kill me. He said, I had the worst experience I've ever had in my life. He said, I'm telling you this, preacher, because I know you'll believe me. And therefore, you're not going to think I'm a nut. And you're going to accept what I say. And then, of course, file it away somewhere and use it in your research. Now, do I believe him? Absolutely, I believe him. I believe it happened. In the most unlikely place. How many's ever been to Chattanooga, Tennessee, been down there that was one of the great railroad heads in its time. And they've got these railroad cars down there, and you can rent one for the night for a hotel room. I believe it happened. You better believe I do believe it happened. You say, what was it, preacher? It's a demon. It's a demon. Have you ever seen a demon go into a church house and tear it up? Have you ever seen the Holy Ghost start working in a church? Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit move into a congregation of people like we had last Sunday morning? And then one person say something and kill it? I've seen that happen time and time and time again. One person don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They've got religion and they kill it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit will not witness to an unsaved. The Holy Spirit will witness to you if you're born again. And your witness and your testimony will make the service better. Oh, boy, I've seen it happen. Man, I've seen it happen. Of all the places on this earth that Satan will fight, don't you think he'll fight right here inside this congregation? He sure will. He sure will. Well, I'm not going to read all of these testimonies because they run into the same thing. This one man right here, Whitley Strieber, in his book on communion and then transformation, he talks about literally coming to the point to where he wished he was dead because of the horrible, horrible, horrid feelings that he was having, driving him to insanity. And all of this was happening because of so-called UFO occupants. Now, the bottom line is this, that the government, however it has worked, and I'm not sure I know all the details involved with it, but somehow or another, this spirit world has made contact with the governments. Why do they do that? Because the governments govern. And through these contacts with the governments, they have definitely planted their spiritual satanic seed. Spirit cooking, Pizzagate, all that stuff, that's just part of what goes on. It's little children are taken and used for some of the most vile, wicked things on the face of this earth. And it's not by some creep that you find out here in the gutter. It's by the fellow running the government or the president of a bank or one of the finest lawyers in town or some of the most esteemed doctors around. These are the people that are involved in this. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood in that sense. But you've got to remember this. The Apostle Paul said that Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much wrong. Do you remember what he said about him? You know what he said? He said, God reward him accordingly. Yes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but this flesh and blood, Alexander the coppersmith, was causing him a lot of trouble. And the Apostle Paul said, Lord, reward him accordingly. And he did. No question about that. He brought him before God. He prayed for those that forsook him. He prayed for those who left him and didn't stand by his side. He interceded for them, but he did not intercede for Alexander the coppersmith. Alexander the coppersmith had personally interjected himself into opposing the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That's what had happened, because he was making money making idols, and Paul preaching the gospel had literally done away with his business. In the New Testament, when somebody puts themselves and begins to affect the preaching of the gospel and come against the gospel of Christ, what I read in the Bible, God will do one of two things. He'll either get him saved like the Apostle Paul, or he'll kill him. Yeah. He'll kill him. He'll do away with him. Take him from the face of the earth. And that happens all the time when people set themselves in array against the gospel. I don't think Satan has to do much more in the church house to make it ready for accepting the Antichrist. I've spent a lot of time talking about the goddess, talking about Ishtar, and talking about the Queen of Heaven and the Virgin. A couple of weeks ago we talked about Athena the Virgin, all of that. Here's what's going on with that, folks. All you have to do is to receive the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, there is another Spirit. You can receive that Spirit through all kinds of different manifestations. All kinds. You can get it through the Kabbalah. You can get it through Satanism. You can get it through goddess worship. You can get it through the occult world. One of these researchers, secular researchers, into this occult phenomena, made this statement. He said, there are so many parallels between what happens to people who are abducted or have encounters with UFOs and the occult world. Now think about that for a minute. He said, there's so many things that are so very similar between the occult world and the UFO phenomena. And I think I told you at the beginning of the lesson today that the secular, now this is important, the secular investigators who put the things on television, Nat Geo and the rest of them, where they do the documentaries on UFO, they use them as authorities. But the one thing they don't say when they go on TV and go public is this. Many, many, many of the encounters that people have with UFOs and this so-called abduction, what have you, are brought to a screeching halt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like that. Disappear and the light comes in. And they say, we can't do that. We can't use that because that's too religious. And we can't put that on TV. It's too religious. Now, what does that tell you about this stuff? What does that tell you? That's a huge red flag that flies up and says, hold on a minute. We're talking about the occult. We're talking about the spirit world. Exactly. And that's what all of this is about. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead is here now against that spirit world. And in the name of Jesus, you can break that bondage. Amen. So if there's something harassing you in your home, go to the Lord Jesus with if you're born again. One woman called me from Burnett's Creek a few years ago, and I've told you about her before. How many of you remember the one about Burnett's Creek? I'll tell you again. This woman goes into her house, buys this house. She's standing in front of a mirror, and a man appears in the doorway. She told me this on the phone. She's startled, looks there, man disappears. All kinds of stuff like that starts happening in her house. So she called Preacher Lawson. I believed her. And she said this. She said, I wanted to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. So I checked with the previous owners, and they had the same thing happen to them. So what was it, Preacher? Demons are wicked, powerful spirits. And the only authority that will put a demon away from you and bind it is the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The only thing, weapon you have against these principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter number 2, He made a show of them openly. He triumphed over them in it. Our Lord Jesus Christ is victor. Hallelujah to His name. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's a house close to where I live, and it's for sale every 6 months.
Okay.
And I go to work every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. And all the lights in the house are always on. And it's been occupied. I've been in that neighborhood for 18 years. And every 6 months it's set for sale. And a new one. But the I studied this stuff to find out what was going on there. And one of the guys that I was reading said that if you have a house that has a certain type of structure that attracts entities that will occupy that house. And lo and behold, when I got on Google Earth and I looked down on it, of course everything was just exactly the way he said it was.
Yeah. If you have any friends, you can always warn them. That's not the place to buy.
You've got to look at this kind of stuff when you buy a house. I mean, anymore, it's epidemic. I have people at work ask me all the time, I'm having problems, what do I do? And, you know, you just got to tell them, cry on the name of Jesus.
It can. But the thing is, if they don't know the Lord, That demon's going to mock them. Just mock them. Or it may play along with them for a while and then suck them in. I know, that's the problem. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's the thing to do. You pray, because it's a spiritual battle. You have to pray. You got to get hold of the Lord. It's important, folks. This is very important stuff you're talking about here, because I see it creeping into the church house. I see it creeping in. Yes, sir.
Do you think that the Bible is telling us something about UFOs? You read in Ezekiel chapter 1, starting with the fourth verse.
Oh, yeah, you've got them in Ezekiel. You've also got them in Zechariah. In a number of places in the Old Testament, you've got things that show up that just don't, they defy explanation. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. When Christopher Columbus came over here, of course, he didn't come straight to the American continent. He went down into the Caribbean, down that area down there. What's on the other end of Haiti over there? Dominican Republic. They've got a church there. That's where they say that Columbus came in. But anyway, when he came over here, he was on board ship, and he wrote in his diary or whatever, you know, a captain keeps a log. He wrote in his log, the sky was full of stuff flying. We're talking about 1400s. There's nothing up there flying. They didn't have any planes. He said it's flying everywhere. These lights are coming and they're going. They're going down into the water. They're coming back up out of the water. They're all over the place. That's what Columbus wrote in the 1400s. Yes, sir.
I don't know how many of you looked on or used Facebook. I saw a post yesterday, and this is slowly coming from Israel, showing how, wall between Israel and ISIS. And, you know, took a little video. I didn't watch the whole video. I thought that was kind of amazing to see that, you know, it's like the time of Moses, you know, and that cloud took over the Egyptians.
Well, you can be certain of this. Michael will fight for Israel. And in Revelation chapter number 12, the final confrontation takes place between Michael and Satan. And it says that Michael and the dragon, calls him a great red dragon, they lock horns. And the Bible says it is war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon and his angels. And the scripture says it was found no more place for them. The dragon, they were cast down to the earth, and they persecuted the woman. The woman in Revelation 12 is Israel, according to the dream of Joseph, and persecuted that woman. And he knows he hath but a short time. And so in Revelation 12, Israel is going to fall under direct assault from the dragon, in other words, from Satan. And that's coming. It's coming. Yes, sir.
Also, I have a prayer request for my father-in-law and his wife, Rosemary and James Kidwell. Both have a real bad respiratory sickness, and they're real sick. Keep them in prayer.
All right. Yes, sir.
A light on the subject that you're talking about, unclean spirits and demons, things like that. You know, I never really thought about it. I never experienced anything from that stage. But I did some research one time, and psychologist by sleep paralysis. And it's kind of like when you're laying in bed and you're on the situation, you can't move, you feel like you're totally down. And personally, I've experienced like two or three times since I've been sick. You know, it's like something that comes to you half awake, you can't quite wake up. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that, but I've experienced two or three times, the first time I did. And you feel like evil or weak presence around you, but each time I experienced it, I called the name of the Lord, you know, and went away like that. I just went back to sleep. It wasn't like I woke up, I was like, oh, some crazy apple. Just
no.
Called the name of the Lord and instant peace.
It never happened to you, yeah. Right. It never happened to you before you got saved. then once you were born again, you had authority in the name of the Lord to tell this thing, whatever it is, to leave. And it left. And I have had that happen to me many times. And it leaves. It has to leave. And it's hard to explain all of that. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. Don Green up in Lansing, Michigan.
He preached down at Faith Family Camp 7 years ago. And he said it sort of just helped me because at the same time, he told me that there were things going on in their house, doors shutting and things moving around, and they were terrified. And so he went to their home, took his Bible, he went in every room, took his scripture, locked up in an attic, and pulled his scripture. They never had any more problems. And he said, now that everybody in this church, when they buy a new house, they have to adult.
Well, that's not a bad idea. Brother Green's a fine man. He's a man of God. And he certainly is. And when he did that, that's the right thing to do. He claimed it for the Lord, and he challenged the demons, and they had to leave. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And some of you probably have had things happen, and you don't want to mention it. That's okay. That's okay. But just remember, there is a real battle going on. It's not a game. They're not playing. Yes, sir.
But I thought it was going to be easier a couple of months ago. But when I was young, my grandmother came to stay with us. And she was dying from brain cancer. But that's my dad's mom. And she brought with her more of the family. And they lived a rough lifestyle. They were into drugs and all kinds of problems. And I was, I'm out of this 13 years' time. And, I went in bed. And all these, this never happened before either. But I lay in bed at night. And there was a lot of witnesses that come into our home. Not necessarily from us, but.
A lot of what?
Wickedness.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just from their lifestyle.
Yeah, right.
And so I went in there at night and woke up with a presence on me. And I couldn't move and was choked. And I was young, didn't know what to do. The only thing that I did do or knew to do was to say Jesus. And I said Jesus for at least 30 minutes straight. Jesus, Jesus. After 30 minutes, crying out the name of Jesus, that thing went.
Never came back. And you were just a boy. Have you ever told that to anybody before?
Yeah, I've told the kids. There's some kids here that have some problems on that book. But I looked at the scripture up later. And it says, "Cry the name of Jesus." I wish I could read that scripture off the top of my head.
Have any of the kids had anything similar to that? Well, you don't have to mention any names. It's just that we've got a generation of children growing up in a wicked, demon-possessed world. And, well, you did right. They know who Jesus is. Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? That's what it said in the book of Acts. Yes, sir.
I'm going to share my experience. I was sleeping, and I had a nightmare, and there was a demon standing in the corner. He was very, very tall, and he had bright red eyes. And he was laughing at me, telling me, "You're mine, you're mine." And I couldn't move, and I was crying. And I used to be a professional boxer, so I'm pretty tough. I'm going to handle this demon myself. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And it started coming at me, and it put his hand over my face, and he said, "You're mine. You're mine. I'm taking the business." And I started crying, and I said the name of Jesus three times. "Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus." And as soon as I did that, I looked up. The thing was, I looked around the room, and everything to the strip on the floor, to the clock on the wall, was exactly the same as my dream. So I don't even know if it was a dream. I have no idea. It's just the whole room was exactly like it was. Like I said, I'm a brave man. I consider myself a brave man. I shut all my doors, turn on the light, and shut the light on that night. I'll be honest.
I don't blame you. Don't blame you, did. Yes, sir.
Richard, me and my wife have done a lot of research on what you were preaching about years ago. And for some reason, last night, we started studying exactly what you're preaching about tonight. And I just believe the Holy Spirit is working in that sense. And I believe a big deception is about to come our way.
It's coming. It's coming. That's what I'm trying to do, is prepare the people. I'm responsible for Temple Baptist Church.
I'm telling you, we haven't picked up that stuff in a while.
Yeah.
For some reason, we just, everything you said and preached about this morning, we were looking into again.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Yes, sir.
When I was a college pastor, I went to Glorieta Baptist Academy. We had a big conference there one night. The second night that we were there, me and my roommate went to bed, and we had a presence came over in that room, and it turned cold. It wasn't cold, but it got down below 20 degrees. I mean, we were freezing, and there was a horrible presence. And all I knew to do at that time, we fell on our knees beside the bed, began to cry out to the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I'm telling you, within 10 minutes, it was warm in that room again. The next day, I found out outside, not too far, some kids, some college students had been out there gathered in circles, having a seance, having jumped. They were doing stuff into the Ouija and into all of that stuff.
Right? Oh, boy. Uh-huh.
God help them. They didn't know what they were doing.
They didn't have a clue what they were playing with.
No.
They didn't have a clue. Yes, Brother Owen.
You bring up a wonderful point that we need to consider. Most of our problems like that we allow in our own home.
That's very true.
But what we bring in the house, I can testify from my own personal experience, we cleansed our house. We got rid of all the junk. My daughter at one point in time had snuck some Harry Potter books in and some stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that stuff is wicked and evil and got all kinds of hell. And we open our doors to it and allow it in. We're asking for trouble.
That's right. Get rid of it. Do you dismiss this, brother? Do you have something?
Yeah, I was going to say that what he's saying, when we was in Arizona, you know how wicked the spirits are
out
there.
Yeah.
My wife and I came under attack. I came under attack the first night. The second night, she came under attack by a demon. Name of Jesus, you cast it out. God gave us revelation. We had the Jingle Dongs, South American art that you would think nothing of, but it had spirits associated. We didn't know it.
Yeah.
Through all that stuff in the trash.
That's right. It sure can. Amen. All right, brother, dismiss us.
Father, Lord, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth that we have, Father. You reveal things to us that we need to know. God, I pray you'd help us to understand in these last days we're in a spiritual battle. God, these battles are not just fake or phony or things that people have made up in their minds, but they're real, Lord. And I pray you'd help us to realize the things around us and help us to realize the things that we allow into our lives. Father, let us be subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for everything you do for us today, Lord. We ask you to be with the preaching and touch the man of God who stands and breaks the bread of life. Give us what we need for our souls today, Lord. Thank you for it.